it really is a pleasure to be here and to serve with you. And again, being the Sunny, what we really want to do is we want to lift the Lord up. We want to honor him, and really it's all about him. And we ask him to be a part of this gathering, this meeting that we have, because without him being here, we can do nothing. And again, that's why we're here. We're honoring him. So again, it's good to serve, and it was really a blessing to see. It was really a blessing to see that Jacob coming up here and just reading from that. It's good to see that people are serving, even if they are the teens. And what I'd like you to do right now is just turn your Bibles over to Proverbs 1. And that's the same book that Jacob had preached out of. And while you're turning there, Solomon, it's a book about that Solomon wrote. And if you look at Solomon's life, he walked with the Lord and he loved the Lord. And he was the son of King David. And there came a time when it was his turn to become the king. And at that point, he had a dream. God came to him, and he asked him what he wanted. Right. And at that time, you know, he said that he was so young that he didn't know how to go out, and he didn't know how to come in. And he said, what he really wanted, he wanted wisdom, and he wanted understanding so that he could judge the people properly. And because of that, and the Lord loved that, the fact that he said he didn't ask for money or a long life or anything like that. He said he was just so impressed with that, he said he gave it to him. And he made him the most wisest that anybody ever was previously and anybody after him. And so what he did is he wrote the book of Proverbs because God came to him, I'm sure, at one time and says, I want you to put this down. And as most fathers, they want to teach their sons. And that's what this book of Proverbs is. It's basically a book where you're passing stuff down. And God wants to keep things simple for us because he wants to bless us. He wants us to be successful. And if you look at the book of Proverbs, most of it is two things. It's either the wise and the simple. It's good or bad. God wants us to choose right. And in doing so, he makes them, you know, completely opposite and out there. And we know as we're always getting knowledge, what we want is understanding. And that's exactly what Solomon said he wanted. He wanted understanding, and he wanted to know how to do it right. A lot of people have knowledge, but they can't put it together. And so that's why he wrote this book. And so what I want to do is ask the Lord to come down here tonight and in our hearts and to give us some understanding on some verse or something. It's all come to us at times when we've read the Word of God and when we're in it. All of a sudden, we're looking at the power of a word, and the word's showing us something in light to something that we saw before. And that's the wisdom that God wants to show us. So let's just bow our heads now, Lord. And we want to honor you tonight, or this morning, and we want to ask you so much for wisdom, just as Solomon asked for. And as we go through your word today, Lord, point out to us in our heart the things that we need to know. We want to get better and be the kind of men and women that you made us to be. And we can't do that unless we have you on our side. So, Lord, fill this room and fill the hearts of people today so that they're able to get some understanding, some new knowledge. And we thank you, Lord, in all that you do in Jesus' name. So if you turn to Proverbs 1 and just take a look at verse number 2, it says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So we know that there's power in words. God spoke words, and you know, and then there was light. So there's power in words, and we want to have the wisdom and the understanding. And that's that's right early in the book of Proverbs because he's laying it down. God does things in order. Amen. And if you really look at it, he tends to follow a pattern because he wants us to see it. That's the wisdom point. And I don't think Satan knows that because he might have a lot of knowledge, but he trips up, and God uses him because God gives us the wisdom and the knowledge. Amen. In verse number 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Now, a wise man will take the knowledge in, and he'll see what the Lord has to do with them. But the simple person, they think they know everything. They won't do that. And that's what you need is the counsel, wise counsel. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. There's two counsels. Right. See, God's showing the two opposites. Right. It's only in his word. That's where it all is. We know that. So we want to have good counseling, and that's where it comes from. also in Psalm 1 it says, but his delight is in the law, and in the law of the Lord he doth meditate day and night. That's a really tough one on all of us. Do we get our delight from that? We do have our times and our moments. Do we meditate on it day and night? I do. No, there's not really. I do the best that I can, but we're all guilty of that. But then why? Because it says, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. The rivers of water. Do you remember when Jesus was going up to Samaria, or he was going to Samaria and he ran into the woman at the well? And he said to her, if you knew what kind of water I had, living water, you would have asked of him for it. This is that living water. That's why the tree is planted by there. And it brings forth fruit in every season. Every season is a difficult times that we come to. And this is what we need. We need that water. This is also the living water. That is what's going to see us through that. That's where we learn, and that's where we're getting the understanding. It says, that bringeth forth fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I don't know about you, but I think everybody in this room probably would like to have that happen in their lives. Sure. I would. Sure. We all want to prosper. So sometimes you find it difficult to get into God's word and know the wisdom that he has, but he's a loving God. He wants to reward us. Mm-hmm. He wants to do it. And it says in Psalm 19, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's the purpose of all of it. We have souls. We're out soul winning, converting the soul. And where does it come from? It always comes from the word, the power of the word. I bet you everyone here would have to say at some point, it was the word that converted you, and the word is God's word. You know, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. So we know there's power in that, and that's the thing that converts everybody, is the power in here. That's where we want to get understanding, and that's where we find it. And it's a blessing that God showed us that we can find it. To others, they may not have. I'm talking about like the devil and the rest of that. They might know a lot, but they don't have wisdom and understanding. And that is what we want. Because it says in Proverbs, it says, wisdom crieth out, she uttereth her voice in the streets. So she's calling us. Why are we not listening? You know, we can all be guilty of this at some point. And then remember the two men that were on the road to Emmaus, and they were walking, and they just left Jerusalem. And then Jesus kind of snuck up with him, and they didn't know it was him. And as they were talking to him, he says, why are you guys so sad? And he told them, basically, he said, you don't know what went on. He says, we had a prophet, Jesus, and he was crucified by the religious crowd, the religious guys, as well as like the Roman citizens, and they were all down. And then Jesus started to go through the Holy Scriptures, and he pointed out why it had to happen. And they kept walking, and when they finally got to their destination, they decided, you know what, it's time to take a break. Let's have something to eat. And as soon as they sat down and broke bread, they realized it was him. Mm-hmm. And then they both looked at each other and says, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our hearts burn within us? That's what we want. We want that burning in us, and all of a sudden the light went on. They realized it. And that's what's happened to everybody here who's saved. One day at some time, the light came on. Amen. 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 So what I'd like you now to do is, if I get everybody to just turn over to Genesis 1. What we want is we want to have wisdom and understanding. And we know that God does things in order. So let's go right to the very beginning and see how God does this. Just like in Proverbs, remember, there's the wise and the fool. He likes to do things in twos. He likes to have extremes. But he gives us this wisdom for us to line stuff up. So it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Notice there, it's the heavens first, the earth second. He tends to do things in order, the best first. It's the wise and the fool. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So we know the power of the word. It says, and God said, let there be light. So he's trying to show us something. What is light? If we look in our Bibles and we just do a little bit of a search on light, it says, Is in Mark 10, Jesus said, "Why callest me good? For there is no one good but God." So he said here, and the light was good. God saw the light, and it was good. Mm-hmm. So we realize he's telling us the light is good. Also, it's... hang on here. It says that God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. Now, we also remember, too, that we want to know if Jesus has light. We know that God is light, God is good. So he's pointing out that's exactly what that is. In 2 Peter, we know when he took Andrew and Peter and James up to the top of the mountain, he says, "For we follow not cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And the voice that came from heaven, he says, we heard when we were with him on the Holy Mount. And if you go over to Matthew 17, he expands on it. He says, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. So now we see that the light that God was giving us, he's lining it up so God is light, God is good. So we want to have understanding as we're going through his word. And Jesus says, in him was life, and that life was the light of man. And we also know that he that has the Son has life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. So we see that in him is life, and that was the light of man. What does that actually mean? What is the light of man? And then further down it says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you guys can turn to 2 Corinthians in 4:4, it'll shed a little more light on that. Exactly. It says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. In chapter 3 it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost. Is 2 Corinthians, should be chapter 4, verse 3? Yes. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So what we're seeing here is that it says, he that has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. That light is a gospel message. That is the light of men that he holds, that he gives. When it says, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, that's the gospel message that people don't see. Why? Because they're blinded. It says here, if our gospel be hid, is him that... in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, one thing we know about Satan is he does three things. It's the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And so people are blinded with that.
Yes.
And because of that, they don't see the gospel message. What God does, though, if you look back, if you go back to chapter 1, God said, let there be light. Notice it's God said. Now, we know when you're saved, is faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we know that God uses the words to create the light. The devil just knows how to blind people, so they can't see the light, but it's created through the word. So he uses the ear gate instead of the eye gate, and that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's how the gospel message comes to us. It's through the words, and the devil doesn't know that. Or he does know that, but he doesn't put the two together. He doesn't have the wisdom, because that's the way to get around it, to create the light in us through the gospel message. He also says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So it's all done that way. And it says, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And it's the word that actually does it. So we become light. That's sort of You know, when you always hear, you can tell my faith by my works. It's the works that we do, and they see it, they go, they must be a Christian. We don't earn it to get it. When they see our light, we get it by the hearing, not by the seeing. And that's how the light works. God is good the way he does that. I love that. And we know, like Satan says, because Satan can't put that together. In 1 Corinthians, it says, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So even though he's got all this knowledge, he never put the things together. And God gives us the blessings of the wisdom and the understanding. And that's why we're in his word, because this is where it all is. This is where it comes from. Now, if I go back to continue in Genesis 1, going back to that, let me just find my... it says, okay, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, we also know, being divided, they can't be in the same place at the same time. Only one can be there. You notice, if you're darkness, you can't get into light because it still stays light. And the other way around, they can't occupy the same place. If you're light, you can get past that darkness. But he put a barrier and a divide. And we know that the story about the rich man and Lazarus, right? And just as we're learning knowledge, same thing. Rich man, poor man. Always doing the extreme, so he's trying to clue us all in. And we know that the rich man, he ate sumptuously every day. Lazarus just had crumbs, and the dogs licked his sores. And then one day, they both died. And his pastor said, the angels took him to heaven. And that's the words. Every word has a purpose. And the rich man was buried. And when he went to hell, he said he looked up in torment. And he looked afar off, and he saw Abraham. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus over here to dip his finger in water to cool my tongue. And he said he couldn't. Why? Because there was a great divide there. There's that great divide. Same thing, God divides the light from the darkness. And most of us, we start off in darkness and moving towards the light. And as I was saying too, as God does things in order, if we take a look at the very end of Genesis 1, let me find it here, I'm getting mixed up here. Let me find it. Where he talks about, sorry about that. In Genesis 1, when he says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. If you look at that order too, all the way through, he's always using light, darkness. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the next day, he goes, the evening and the morning. Why didn't he say the morning and the evening? And I got to get a little better organized here. Okay, got it. It's because, if you look in Colossians 1:3, it says, God who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So the Lord's going to translate us. We start off in the darkness. The gospel message comes in through the hearing. Amen. God translated. He shows at the very end how he's going to translate us. It goes from evening to morning. Now, if I got up early one morning and I was just standing and it was still dark out, and I stayed there a little bit longer and all of a sudden light came and I'm in the light, I just got translated to the light. What did I do? I didn't do anything. The same thing. God's showing that he's going to translate you out of the darkness. And then the other one verse I wanted to show was, all right, I can't find it there. That's fine. But what we do know is, like I said, we start in darkness. God will take us to the light. And so really, it always comes down to choices, and that's what the wisdom, that's the wisdom that we want to get. He's showing us, these are all the blessings. These are all the curses.
Right.
If you follow that, you'll actually have a blessed life. If you follow that, this is what's going to happen. He shows them the foundation in the first of Genesis. This is how I work it. I've just had the foundation. I showed you. They're the two opposites, and I'm going to follow that pattern throughout. And through all of that, we realize you only have two choices, darkness and light. So we are either going to be the people who have the light or somebody who walks in darkness. And so we're only going to have two places to go, one or the other. And so with God's gospel message, which is salvation and our light, we see that Jesus holds that light, and through his word, he can instill it in you, and that way you can be translated. And that's through his gospel message. And that's why we're here today. We were in darkness, and then we saw the light. And we want to continue in that wisdom and to grow and to be the kind of people that he wants us to be. And we bless him for all of that, and we thank him for saving us, taking us to the light. And like I say, it only comes down to two things, and each one of us has to make that choice. Am I going to stay in darkness, or am I going to choose the light? Now, I know we have our tracts that we hand out. It gives a more definition of it, how to be saved, how to go from darkness into light. And if you're not saved and you haven't seen that, please look at it or talk to somebody. We always have the altar call at the end of the service because people need to know this. Time is ticking. It says, then it says the end of the first day. Well, we don't have a lot of days. And I urge each one of you, if you haven't got this straight, to at least talk to somebody and look at the gospel message so you can be translated into the light. And again, I thank the Lord. And